Let us pray. Lord, we beseech you, give ear to our prayers, and by your gracious visitation, lighten the darkness of our hearts. By our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I didn't grow up in a liturgical church, so when I finally was drawn to the ancient traditions of worship, there were many things I had to learn. I had no clue whatsoever about the seasons of the church calendar, including Advent, which most naturally means I was completely lost about this whole concept of the Advent wreath. All these candles inside what looked like to me a Christmas wreath didn't seem particularly wise. But I love candles, so I was mesmerized by the first one I saw in a darkened sanctuary. And there are 5 candles in all, 3 purple, 1 pink, and 1 white at the center. And so the first Sunday of Advent, we light up a purple candle. This is the candle of hope. And we reflect and we anticipate on the prophecies which reveal that God is on the move, coming to visit and to save his people. On the second Sunday of Advent, we light up another purple candle. And this is the candle of peace. And we reflect and we anticipate on how Christ brings peace to us and to the world. But today, this Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, we light up the pink candle. And I think you all know how I feel about the color pink. This candle is the candle of joy. And so today we reflect and we anticipate what it means to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Perhaps you need some coffee if you haven't had any already. Some of you don't look really into rejoicing this morning yet. But the Apostle Paul would have God's people rejoice always in the Lord. In the good times, in the bad times, in those crazy boring times. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. So let us then learn how to live lives of joy together. And let us discern how each of us can be a candle of joy, reflecting and revealing the light of Christ in a dark, cold world. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning on Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, found on page 710. Now, Philippians is such a joyful letter, which is really incredible when you think about the context, because Paul is writing this letter in prison to the church in Philippi. Paul is oftentimes called the theologian of grace, but he could just as well be the theologian of joy. He writes to the church telling them about his joy that Christ is preached. He reminds the saints of God that they are citizens of heaven, something to be joyful about. He commands them to have the attitude and the mind of Christ and to shine brightly for Christ. He elaborates on the immeasurable value of knowing Jesus and pressing toward the goal of finishing the race of faith. And then he tells them, these people, that they are his joy. This letter is a huge pick-me-up to a church that is facing persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. And so as the letter is wrapping up, he gives these encouraging words. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. When people look at the lives of Christians, joy should be one of the key characteristics that they see. Do you have the joy deep in your heart?
Where?
What kind of joy are we talking about here? What kind of joy are we talking about? Are we talking about that temporary kind of joy when you realize that you're ready for an upgrade on your cell phone and so you can go get this new iPhone? I've seen some people be really joyful about that. Are we talking about the temporary kind of joy when, by some happenstance, you get moved from coach to first class? Because I've seen people jump up and down, they were so excited. No. The joy believers have in Christ is not some temporary thing that changes depending on the circumstances. The joy that believers have in Jesus doesn't depend on what season in life that they're facing. It doesn't depend on how much money you make, if you're well or if you're sick, or what political party you tend to align with. Our joy is in Jesus. Faithful, steady, constant, and true. He is all these things. Our joy is in an abiding relationship with the light of the world. That's this center candle here, the white candle. It's called the Christ candle. And that great light, the light of Christ, now dwells in us. So our joy is a way of life. It's certainly not an option. It simply is. So we experience joy because the light of Christ abides in us through the presence and the experience of the person of the Holy Spirit. No matter what we may be going through or what our circumstances might be, we can rejoice in the Lord always. How often? And where? Always. We are a people of joy because the light of His joy has lit us up. Lit us up. Now we have been released for joy, sent out, let loose to be joy in the world, always and everywhere. Joy is a mark which separates us from the world. Not the temporary type of joy, but that which is constant and true and forever. Joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, Paul says. But Paul then states that everyone should witness the gentleness of believers. And what really is meant by this is that we are to have a gentle forbearance to all. For the Philippians, this would certainly mean the people persecuting them. They're supposed to be gentle to the people that are persecuting them. That sounds like some otherworldly kind of ethic, doesn't it? Put away your sword, Peter. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hurt you. Paul sounds a lot like Jesus here to me. Jesus was gentle in the midst of persecution and trial. Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. And Paul reminds the Philippians and us that we are to follow in the gentle forbearance of Christ. But not just for the sake of imitating Jesus, which is crucially important, but also for the notion and the belief that Christ is coming back soon. This means that He is near to us. Near to us. As Psalm 145 makes clear, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him. He is ever present with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And what is coming, what has been promised to us, will come to pass. As Paul has already reminded the Philippians, and what we equally need to be reminded of, is that we are citizens of heaven. Resident aliens in a foreign land. But while we are here, we have a responsibility to represent the King and His kingdom. A responsibility to reflect and to reveal the light of Christ in the world. And so Paul encourages the Philippians to have a gentle forbearance to all and to live in joyful expectation of Jesus' return. For we are not home yet. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come to thee, O Israel. You know, this time of year, you start receiving cards in the mail from friends and family. And typically the greetings on the cards have something to do about peace and comfort and goodwill toward humanity. Wishing all of us a very Merry Christmas. Well, this year my family wanted to send out an Advent card. And as we were thumbing through the various templates online to choose from, we were drawn toward the one we gave to all of you. Rejoice! Rejoice! May the Lord's light brighten your day, and may His love fill your heart with joy. How many Advents have I participated in? How many times have I sung, O come, Emmanuel, and it never even occurred to me that during this season of preparation and expectancy, I should be rejoicing. I'm a little slow sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. The Lord is coming back. Did you know this? He's coming back. We can most certainly rejoice because of this. But during this time of year, it's oftentimes very difficult to rejoice because of the brokenness all around us. This time of year is frequently very lonely for people. This time of year we mourn for those who are not with us gathered around the table, and so it's a very different kind of Christmas because of that. This time of year we encounter once again the fractured relationships that we have with members of our own families. There are many more circumstances that we could easily throw into the pot here. But with all these things comes anxiety. And it's easy to take our eyes off of the light of Christ and succumb to this gloomy despair of dark and to sink further and further down into the whirlpool of desolation. It's like quicksand. You just keep getting sucked down into it when you take your eyes off of the light of Christ. But Jesus invites each of us to follow Him without fear of anxiety. Why? Well, because we have a Father who is our King as well. And it is He who looks after us and who cares for us. He who watches over us, neither slumbers nor sleeps. And so whatever circumstances we might be facing, it could be struggling to find meaning with your career. It could be waiting for that baby to come. It could be watching a loved one near death. It could be recovering from wisdom teeth surgery. Because the Lord is near to us, because He cares for us in all things and in all circumstances, make your requests known to God. We don't rejoice in our circumstances, is what Paul is saying. We rejoice in the Lord, in His goodness, in His kindness, in His grace, and in His love. And we have so much to rejoice in Him for. We have so much to be thankful for. Christ has made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Christ has overcome the grave. Christ will come back to make all things new, and His justice will flow down, and our hearts will find their rest. Thanksgiving is Paul's counter to anxiety. Maybe we should try this. What do you think?
Yeah.
So when we tell God what we need, when we tell Him what we need and we thank Him for all that He has done, then something amazing happens. We are filled with peace. And this peace won't make any sense to anyone that doesn't know Jesus. For this peace passes all understanding. Others might ask with wonder, how can you have such peace? How can you hold it all together in such a trying and difficult time? And the answer is this. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in me. For peace, like joy, is a fruit of the Spirit. Christ, the bringer of joy, is also the bringer of peace. You see how wonderful the Lord is to us? We rejoice in Him, we petition Him, and we thank Him for all that He has done, and He takes away our anxiety and He gives us peace. Perfect peace. And this peace protects us. It defends our minds. It guards our hearts. This should not be such a shocker. God is the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And we have peace because of our union with Jesus by faith. And for this, we can most certainly rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Christ is the light of the world, and He is the bringer of joy. And when He first came to this world, He came as a little child. And though He was little, He was a great light. And the angels at His birth sang of tidings of comfort and joy and peace. And when He returns to this world and makes all things new, our joy will be complete. and we will behold the light of his face, the light of his countenance, and dwell with him forever in a new heaven and a new earth and our newly formed resurrection bodies, which will be able to do things that we can't even imagine. Today we look at this wreath and we remember Jesus' first coming to us, his first advent, while we anticipate his second coming, his return. And we behold this pink candle symbolizing joy. My family has recently got into the Pixar craze, and so we've been watching a lot of Pixar movies. And so Inside Out was one of the recent ones we watched. And if you're not familiar with it, it's kind of, in my opinion, the man behind the curtain, all these emotions going on. And so the emotion joy is characterized as blue, which I thought was interesting. It was like, blue? Wouldn't sadness be blue? Well, sadness is blue, but so is joy. So go figure. But what's even more interesting is why the church associated the color pink with joy. You see, the season of Lent, like Advent, is a penitential season. And halfway through the season of Lent, there's a Sunday where all the purple turns to the color of a rose. And this was to mark the halfway point to Easter, to rejoice that half of Lent is over with and Easter is coming. And because Advent is also penitential, at the halfway point to Christmas, the pink color of a rose was given for God's people to rejoice, because the coming of the Lord was very, very near. So I guess this is one of those extremely rare occurrences where I'm okay with the color pink. Because the Lord's appearing is coming soon. And we can rejoice because the Lord is on the move. We can rejoice, for the bringer of joy has lit our hearts up, lit our lives up. And just as he has brought us hope and peace, so he has brought us joy. Just as he is our hope and our peace, he is our joy. But perhaps some of us need to be rekindled this morning. Maybe some of us here today need a refilling of his joy. Come and eat this bread. Come and drink this cup. And as you come to this table, know that he delights in you. Delights in you. When was the last time you heard that from someone? When was the last time you heard someone say, "I delight in you"? Well, when you come this morning, that's my hope, is that you will hear Jesus say, "I delight in you." Come and delight in him. May the light of his joy be stirred up within us at this Eucharistic feast. May we take in his light and be sent out and released into the world, bearing witness to the joy that he brings. May each of us be a candle of joy shining in the darkness of night. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with your great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.